Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Aleph. We begin at the Mishnah, which is on Ayin Amud Beis, towards the bottom. So it's four lines off the bottom. It says the Mishnah, Beleshes Shenichna Solir. Beleshes is a group of soldiers. Okay, so they're entering the city, and legally they have a right to put together any food and drink that they find and use it for personal consumption. So they came to the town, and the question is, what about the wine, kosher wine, sitting in the in this town in various homes, which the troops entered? Shall we be concerned that they did nisuch, that they went ahead and they wiggled the wine and they sloshed the wine with avodah zarah in mind, in which case everything becomes asur? So it depends on the circumstance. Bishas sholem, if it's peacetime, so they're not in a rush, they have all the time, in the world. Chavius besuchos asuris. So if they passed by open barrels, then they're asur, for concern that they tampered with the wine. Stumais mataris, but if they're sealed, then they're safe. They're deemed to be safe. We're not concerned that they may have opened it and resealed it. No. Bishas melchama. But during wartime, then things are different. They have no time to do a nisuch. Elu ve'elu mutaris, whether the barrels are sealed or open, the wine in them is kosher, is deemed safe. So even if they may have taken a drink, l'vishayim p'nai l'nasach, there's no time. They have no. They're not focused on doing nisuch, worshiping their idols. They're in a rush. They're harried. They're not focused. So therefore, even if they took a drink, and typically if a guy touches wine, it becomes asur as well. Stam yenam, right? It's been the rabbanan, because if you touch, then you may have. But in this case, say the mefarshim, since nisuch is not really on their agenda, so there's no gzeira the rabbanan on this wine, even if it was touched and tampered with by the goy. So again, if it's during peacetime, b'shas sholem, open barrels, that's deemed to be tainted, but closed barrels, if it's sealed, they wouldn't have opened it and resealed it. They would have opened, they would have left it open. They wouldn't have bothered, So if it's sealed, it's okay. But b'shas mocham, everything's considered to be protected. Asks the Gemara Beramini, we have a kasha from a Mishnah, Mesachas Ksubos, where it seems that even during wartime, they're engaged in all kinds of nefarious activities. So we have a city that was captured by troops. All women that are kohanim, meaning they're wives of kohanim, in which case, even if they were forced to spend time with a man, they would be considered asur. They become affected and tainted with respect to going back to their husbands. So all those kohanim, kol kohanim shebaseicha in this town that was attacked, pesulos, an apostle with respect to continuing on with their husbands. Why? Because it's a concern that they may have been attacked by these soldiers. So apparently, even during wartime, these things are a concern. Amar of Mari, big difference. Lanasech ein pnai, to worship their idols with the wine, there's no time for that. Livol yesh pnai, but to engage women, that they have time for. Says the Mishnah, Umnin shal Yisrael. So you have a Jewish worker, hired by a guy. Comes pay time. Instead of a check, the guy sends him a barrel of wine. Sheshalach lehem oyit gicham chavishol yain nesach beschar, and he sends them forbidden wine as payment for their work. Now they don't want the wine. Can they exchange the wine for money? Typically, you can't have any benefit. Can't exchange non-kosher wine. You can't have an offer from it. So what about here? Says the Mishnah, they could. So even though the guy sent them a chavish al yayin nesach bischorim, mutar loy merloy, they can turn back and say, look, ten loners domeh, we'd like the value, give us the money. Because they haven't yet taken possession, they haven't really acquired that wine, it's not theirs. He owes them wages, he attempted with wine, they're insisting on money. However, once they took possession, so they accepted it, now they can't turn around, they cannot turn around and go and switch it for money, because now they're basically selling the wine, which they can't. Amar b'damarav, a similar halacha, mutal adam laim la'ayu kecham, a person can tell a guy, do me a favor, say, go out v'hafes olai, and satisfy on my behalf, manas hamelech. Rashi explains, they had this tax called arnoina, so everybody would be obligated to transfer, you know, a portion of their produce, 10% of their, you know, their crop, their animals, their, you know, their wine, to the government. No tax. So you can tell this this agent, do me a favor. Take care of it for me. So even though the guy is giving wine, right, instead of the yid giving his own wine, the guy is taking care of it. And later the yid, you know, will pay him back. It's okay, because why would it be a problem? You see, because the guy is paying off the Jew's debt with non-kosher wine, and then the Jew will compensate him. So it's like he's buying off, he's paying for that non-kosher wine, and it's as though he had anah, he benefited from that non-kosher wine, which was used to pay off his debt. We don't say that. It's not an issue. Rashi explains, you know why? Because really, this debt could have been satisfied with money. You know, you can choose to pay actual produce or wine, you can pay with money. So technically, it could have been a monetary payment. Although the guy decided to pay it off with wine, which happened to be non-kosher, but the Jew technically did not have any benefit from that, because it was the guy's choice to use wine. He could have used money. Maybe here comes a kash. Bryce says, "Al yemer adam la'ivik kicham." A yid should not turn to a guy and say, "Oil tachtei la'itzer, take my place." Approach the oitzer, the official tax collector, on my behalf, and you know, pay off my tax. You can't do that, right? Because if the guy now pays off the wine instead of the yid, so the yid is basically having anah from that wine that was used to pay off his debt. And here Rav allows it. Amalei, Rav responded, "Well, it's very different. Let's take a close look at the wording of the brisa. Oil tachtai lo itzer ka'amris. In this case, he said, oil tachtai. Stand in my place. That's very different. He's like appointing him as an agent. You're doing is sort of representing me. Even though the Mefarshim explained that a guy does not have shlichus, you can't really technically appoint, halakhically, you can't appoint a guy as an agent, but the fact is he is doing it directly on behalf of the yid, who appointed him to do it on his behalf. So the yid is basically benefiting from that yayin nesach used to pay off his debt. But in my situation, says Rav, in the case that I cited, he didn't use such direct language. My case is more similar to the next part of the Braisa, where it says, but you could tell the guy, please, spare me, Maltaini, spare me from the tax, from the official. So in this case, if he has other means of sparing the yid, i.e. with a monetary payoff, so even if he chooses to use wine, pay off his debt, that's the guy's prerogative. It's not considered like the Jew actually had enough in that wine. Says the Mishnah, Meicher, Yenu Levit Kechav. Okay, here's a common shayla. A Jew is a wine seller. He has Jewish customers, non-Jewish customers. How does he go about it? You see, because once the wine will be measured into the containers of the guy, which is filled with the wine, non-kosher wine residue, right? It's going to be tainted and get mixed in and becomes usher. And once that happens, how could he get paid for that wine, which is now usher? Says the Mishnah, one sells his wine to a guy. Pasak. Pasak means they agreed on a price, they set a rate. So if they did that actually mada before he measured it up, before he handed in the wine, damav mutar, in that case, it's okay, and Rashi explains. Because, at least according to one approach in the Gemara, because the guy already did meshicha. So if they agreed on a price, ready to go. Hands in the wine. And now, the guy does Mashiach. He's kainet. So even if he later touches it and gets it, it's okay. Because now, it's his own wine that he's tampering with. So the Yid can certainly get paid for the wine that he sold him before it became asr. So pasak ashalei modad, if he was pasak, they set a price before he measured up the containers, dam of mutar, in this case, he can get paid for it. But modad ashalei pasak, but if he filled up his container before he set a price, the guy is not really comfortable yet with this deal. He might change the price. He might hike them. He might charge him anything. So he doesn't really have that smichus das. They didn't really close the deal. Dam of asur in this case. Even if the guy walks away with the wine, that mashicha is not really effective. Since there was no set price, there was no agreed rate. The deal's not over. There's no transfer of ownership. So now when the guy touches the wine, technically he's touching the wine of the Yisrael, and becomes usher. Now, when he decides to buy it, he can't pay for that wine. The Yisrael can't accept payment for wine, his own wine, which is now usher. Dam of usher. Okay, this takes us to a very general discussion regarding kinyanim. So, how does one acquire something? By way of a pain, by way of doing meshicha, physical acquisition. You should know that by a guy, he's kind of through doing Mashiach. Rashi says, even though he didn't actually transfer payment yet, he's kind of. And actually, Tosfos explains, this really relates to a discussion in a different Masechta, in Bava Metzia, Machlokes there, regarding a Yisrael. How does a Yid make a kinyan from another Yisrael? Is it by actually doing payment? Or is it by doing a Mashiach, Machlaik is there, and the Gemara learns that by a Goy it's different than a Yisrael, just the opposite. So if you hold that Kesef works by the Yisrael, so by a Goy it's Mashiach. If you hold that by Yisrael, Mashiach is required, by the Goy it's just the opposite. You need Kesef, because the Pasuk says, Amitecha, only with your colleague, with your equal, by the Goy it works differently. So a Memer, who says Mashiach, Boiv Gecham Koina, holds that by Yisrael, Kesef works, therefore by a guy it's just the opposite. And soon we're going to have Rav Ashi, who goes the other way. He says that by the guy, Mashiach doesn't really work, you need to have Kinyan Kesef. That's basically the underlying, concept that's the basis of the Machlekes, Amemar and Rav Ashi. Okay, so Amar Amemar, Amemar holds, Mashiach, by a guy it's Mashiach. Teda. Here's a proof. Dani Parsoi, look at these Persians. How do they do their, transactions? Mishadri, they send pardashni, gifts, ladadi to each other, lehadri behu. They don't backtrack, don't change their minds. Why? Because once the recipient takes possession, does mashicha, it's a done deal. And Tosfos explains, we don't necessarily prove anything from what goyim do today, but he says, apparently, it's something that was established. He says, Minig HaVeisim was established in their culture. This is the way we finalize deals. Apparently, it's rooted in reality, in Halacha, and Torah. It's been this way all along, that Mashiach makes a kinyan. Rav Ashi Yomar, he disagrees. Lo Elam Emlech, I can certainly tell you Mashiach, but Mashiach doesn't work by a guy. You need payment. Vaidulay Hadri, but the reason why they don't back off. They have haughtiness. It's beneath their dignity to back out once they give something. But technically, Mashiach isn't really an established kinyan. Tosfos actually learns that these weren't gifts, these were transactions that were meant to be, paid for. But because otherwise, if it's just a gift and there's no money in the equation, then of course the Mashiach is adequate. What more could you? What more do you need? Okay. In any case, general question: Mashiach by a goy, effective or ineffective? A Memer says yes, it works. Rashi says it doesn't. Amar Ravashi says Ravashi, Minu Aminila. How do I even know that this, in fact, is true? That Mashiach is not an effective kinyan by a goy. From a story that took place with Rav, and it relates to Yayin Nesach. Mida Amarlu Rav. Rav had addressed these wine sellers, Lahanu Savyosa, these Jewish wine sellers. And he told them like this, Ki Kailisu Chamra, Lo'ev de Kechav, when you sell your wine, when you measure up the wine for your Geisha customers, Shaklu Zuzi Minayu, take care to first accept payment for that wine, V'hadar Kailun, then you go pass on the wine. Now, if they came without money, what do you do then? Lend them money. If they have no money with them, first loan them some money. Give them $100 as a loan. Okay, so they owe you the money as a loan. And then take that money, accept it as payment. Take it as payment. This way, they owe you $100 as a loan, you know, obligation, not as payment for the wine. Right? So you lend them the money, they owe you the $100. Okay, fine, done. Then they give you that money as payment for the wine. And then you give them the wine. Why? What's the problem? If you don't follow this sequence, you're in trouble. Because if you just hand them the wine without payment, and then they tamper with the wine, it turns into yayin nesach. Guess whose wine just got ruined? Your wine. It's still yours. And then later on, when you'll accept payment for that wine, it's like you're selling Yayin Nesach, you're having benefit from Yayin Nesach, which is forbidden. And then when you go ahead and you take payment, it's as though you took money for Yayin Nesach. Okay, end of story. Says Rav Ashi, if you're going to tell me that a guy acquires, takes possession, through Meshicha, what's the issue? As soon as the guy makes Meshicha on that wine, it's his. Okay, before you touched it, before, it's sitting in the clip. It's his. Kanya. And now, he's obligated to pay for that wine. It only turns Nesach later when he touches it. So what's the issue? Says the Gemara, no. Either call Kyle for Rami. The money is true if the seller would be filling, would be measuring it up into the varami and putting it into the container belonging to the seller, kosher container, achinami, then of course you would have a point. That's not the case. He's measuring it up and putting it into the kli of the customer of the guy. In the kli of the guy, the customer's container, which has some remnants of Yayin Nesach in it, and then that wine, when it hits the kli, it gets mixed in and it gets asr, that's the halacha, when it gets mixed up with Yayin Nesach, the whole thing becomes asr. So, even if we'll say that Meshicha does work by a guy, it wouldn't help us in this case. Because the wine became forbidden before the guy even got a chance to do Meshicha. So Rav Ashi tried to prove that apparently Meshicha doesn't work. Otherwise, what's the issue? There is an issue, because it becomes Asr before he even made Meshicha. So if so, one second, says the Gemara. Ultimately, Kimata Lavira de Mona. How could you say that would be a concern? The mixing with the remnants of the wine? Look. As soon as the wine enters the airspace of the container, before it even touches the bottom of the container, while it's still flowing into the through the airspace, kanya, the guy is kind of the wine. Rashi says kinyan hakbo, because he's holding the kli and preparing it to accept the wine. And at that point, it's not yet tainted. Yai nesach lehavi. At what point does it become yai nesach? Only when it reaches the bottom and makes contact with the kli. Adamati la reisei the bottom, until it gets to the bottom of the kli and hits the bottom surface inside the kli. So what was the problem here? Why was Rav warning them to take advance payment? Well, what's the big deal? If the guy can make a kinyan meshicha or kinyan hakbo, which is pretty much on the same track, the wine would be safe and sound. The kinyan occurs before there's any contact. Oh, shma meno nitzuk chibur. Shall we say that this would work because nitzuk? Nitzuk means a flow. right? So when you pour, there's a continuous flow. So basically, the bottom of the flow hits the bottom of the inside, you know, surface, the bottom of the kli, and the whole flow all the way, even out of the kli, all the way from your barrel into his thing, that unit of liquid is like one continuous unit, one continuous entity. Nitzik chibur is considered a connection. So the wine, even on its way into the kli, which has not yet arrived into the airspace of the kli, is considered one and connected with the whole unit, including the portion that already hit the kli on the bottom, and now all becomes yai nesach and aser. So that would explain why Rav had to warn him to take to accept payment before he gives it up, because once he starts pouring, everything becomes aser. Says or no, not necessarily. Loi, no, you don't have to go that far. If they're going to actually be holding the cleanest hands, hachinami. So then you would have a point, because the question would be, why can't the guy just be kind of through the avir, through the airspace of the kli? And in terms of the fact that the bottom of that flow touched the bottom of the kli, that wouldn't affect the entire nitzuk, the entire body of liquid. It would still be considered kosher, in which case there's no problem, because he's kind of it before it becomes tainted, right? So that would be in the case where the guy is actually holding the kli, in which case he's kind of with hagbah. In terms of anything that enters the airspace of the kli. Litzricha de manach ara. No, we're speaking about a case where the kli is sitting on the floor, so his container is on the floor. So in this case, you can't say that the guy acquires through the airspace of the kli, because that only works if he's actually holding the kli. He's involved in receiving the liquid and receiving the wine. He's directing it, in a way that the wine will actually reach the kli. So he's involved and he's doing a kinyan by holding the kli. But since the manach ha'arot sitting on the floor, he's not physically involved. He's not holding it. He's not lifting it. There's no kinyan here. Okay, so that explains why it's a problem, because the kinyan only happened later, when he actually does the mashicha. But before that happens, the wine is now already sitting in the kli and got tainted by the yayin nesach in the kli. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Even if the kli is sitting on the floor, whose kli is it? We said it's the customer's keli. Okay, it's technically like kalev, one's container. Can't make a kinyan on his behalf. It's like a chutz. It's my property. It's my domain. So back to the question. What's the problem? Any wine that enters the airspace of the kli automatically becomes property of the customer before there's actual contact with the inside of the kli and the remnants of the yayin nesach, which taints the wine. Shamas mino kelev shelakeach b'shus mechel lekan lekeach. Do you mean to say that we can deduce from here that a kli of a lekeach? So if a customer walks into a store, so he's now technically standing in the seller's domain, and he has his container. The question is, can he use that container to acquire something? Or do we say no? Since it's sitting in the fellow's store, it's like bottle, it's subordinate, becomes part and parcel of the surrounding environment, can't create its own entity of space. The kli of the lekeach is sitting in the rishus, in the store of the seller. Lekeach can't use that kli to acquire anything. And that's why he's not going to be kind of the wine? Loi, no, not necessarily. You don't have to say that. Loi, maybe loch kind of lekeach. Perhaps you can say typically a lekeach can use his kli to be kind of, even if he's sitting in the other person's property. So then what's the issue with the wine seller? Why does he have to get paid before he let it be considered a kinyan for the lekeach? And then it turns into yayin nesach after it hits the bottom of the kli, right? We're speaking going to ika akeves yayin apume de kuzant. Very simple. We're speaking that the Jewish wine cellar pours into the customer's kli, and there's akeves yayin bepuma. There's like little bit of droplets of wine sitting along the lips of the pail, of the pitcher, or whatever that he's pouring it into. So he's pouring it through that area, which is already tainted with Yayin Nesach. Okay, so that explains things. The kama, as the wine flows through that spot and touches the traces of Yayin Nesach in Sichle, it becomes Yayin Nesach. It gets affected and tainted. So, in any case, that explains what the issue was. So, perhaps a guy could make Mashiach, not like Rav Ashi. He could be kind with Mashiach with Akbah. So why does the seller have to ensure that the wine is already sold before it gets poured in? Because as he starts pouring it, it gets affected and tainted and contaminated, and you can't sell it anymore. It becomes Yayin Nesach. Okay, and again, it's only because of that, you know, a couple of droplets that get mixed in. Says the Gemara, it's only a couple of drops. Ukaman, the loyker of Shimon Gamliel. So we're not going like Shimon Gamliel, who says that when a little Yayin Nesach gets mixed into kosher wine, no problem, just sell it in the duck for that little bit. The Rav Shimon Gamliel, according to Ma'amar, he told us, Imachar Kulay, sell it all. Let it come to a guy, chutz, just a duck, the value of that little bit of problematic, you know, Menmei Yayin Nesach Shaboy. You can sell the rest, just deduct for the Yayin Nesach content. So what's the problem here? Sell to the Geisha customer, and just don't charge him for that little drop that, you know, what's the problem? Right? You're not charging him for that, for those traces of Yayin Nesach. You're charging him for your kosher wine. Says the Gemara, Midi, Hutama Lila Rav. This whole discussion pertained to Rav, right? Who was instructing the sellers, right? Rav already told us. Halacha. Yeah, in fact, we adopt the shita of Karam Shim Gamliel only b'chavis. If it's a mix of barrels, so a barrel full of Yayin Nesach got mixed into the other barrels, so each one is sort of stands alone. You can sell the mix, just don't charge for the avaloy yayim yayim. It's wine and wine. And it gets blended together, gets mixed together, it's one unit, you can't sell it at all, it becomes Asr Bahan. No. That explains our concern. Meisvei comes Akash. So back to the discussion between Meimar and Rav Ashi, Meimar who says, a guy works with Mashicha, whereas Rashi disagreed. Meisvei comes Akash. Lokech Grutois, we had this price a couple of weeks ago, a person purchases, you know, scrap metal from a guy, Meinoivid Kicha. And guess what? He finds amongst them an idol of a desire. Halkech retoys from Evdi Kecham. Umotzim and Avitzkecham, he finds an idol. He wants to give it back. So it depends at what stage. Imat Shaloi Nosan Mois Moshach. If he did Meshicha, the Jew did Meshicha before he actually paid, yeah, so just give it back. You haven't really acquired it. It's not yours. You're not selling it back. You just, you know, you never got it. Imisha Nosan Mois Moshach. But if the Meshicha took place after he paid for it, it's too late. It belongs to the Yisrael. You have to destroy it. Yerlich Yamamel, take it to the Dead Sea. Question is, if Mashiach works with respect to a guy, what's the problem? Am I yachzer? So, how could he give it back to the guy? So, in the first case, we allow him to give it back, but the Israel already did Mashiach, it's his. You can't. So you can't have an offer from your idol. It's yours. Amar Abaye, Mishum de Mechzik Mechach Tos. The reason is because it appears like, meaning it presents like a Mechach Tos, like a mistaken transaction. And although the Gemara uses the word Mechzik, but the Mepharshim explained just a way of expression. It means to say, this is a Mechach Tos. Why? He had never intended on buying this idol. It wasn't part of the transaction, a mistake. Amar Rava, says Rava, okay, so that explains why in the Reisha it's Mekach Tos, but Sefer La Mekach Tos? So in the first scenario, you allow him to give back Mekach Tos. What about the second case where he paid, but he certainly didn't want to buy an idol? Why is it that not a Mekach Tos? Why is it different? Why can't he give it back? El Amar Rava, says Rava, you're right. Reisha v'Sefer Mekach Tos, in both cases, technically, it's no deal. But we're concerned about optics. Veresha, in the first case, Leib Zuzi, we didn't pay for it. Leib Zuzi, he didn't pay, he just did Mashiach, it doesn't appear. It doesn't give the impression to the onlooker Kavod Chom Yad Yisrael, like the Yisrael acquired an Avod Yisrael. He didn't really pay for it, just took delivery, still inspecting it, so it doesn't appear bad. But safe on the second case where he paid for it, you have Zuzi, since he paid, Mischazi, it just looks like, even though halakhically it's not his, it's just a mistake, but it looks Mischazi, Kavod Chom Yad Yisrael, like the Yid took possession of an idol, therefore he can't give it back. Omalei Makshisha Bidra Chizravash. I have a kash. You tell me that Mashiach doesn't work by a guy. Let's take a look at our Mishnah over here in Avodah Zarah. Toshma, Meichar Yainil Ad Gicham, right? He sold his guy some wine. Says the Mishnah, Pasag Achalei Madat. Dama Vatar. If he did the Pasag, the Pesika, which means they agreed on a price before he measured up the wine, before he handed in the wine, so then he can accept payment. The Amras Mashiach Abba Ad Gicham. Now, if you're going to tell him Mashiach doesn't work by a guy, my Dama Vatar, how can he get paid for that? If the guy didn't pay, hasn't yet transferred payment, plus the fact that he took possession doesn't really make it his. So now when he tampers with the wine, he's now making the wine Yayin Nesach, while it's still technically belonging to the seller. Now he's going to pay for it? How could he take payment for that? According to you, that Mashiach doesn't work. Well, Hachamai Skinner says the Gemara. Says Rav Ashi, guess what? He paid for it. But speaking, in fact, the Akdim Le Dinar, he already gave him advance payment. He gave him a dinar, Rashi says. He gave him a large amount on account. It's all paid for in advance. Oh, if it's paid for, then it's his. Says the Gemara Yochi, if that's the case, Emo Seifa. Let's take a look at the second part of the Mishnah, where it says, Madad Ashle Pasak. So he transferred him the wine before they agreed on a price. Dama Vasur, in this case, he can't get paid for it, because it already turned into Yayin Nesach before they completed their transaction. What do you mean? The transaction has been completed with the advance payment. If he gave him a dinar in advance, why can't he keep that money? It's paid for. He took possession. It's done. Hamar Lacy says like this. Nu ula didach, according to your opinion, you say the Amras, you say Mashiach v'gicham koine. Okay, you hold the Mashiach works. So how are you going to explain the difference between both cases? Amai Reisha Davam Mutarin. Why in the first case, where they set the price and he took it, it's okay. We say for in the second case, we didn't set a price. Dom Asurin, he can't take payment. What's the difference? He did Mashicha. Belongs to the guy before. It became Yayin Nesach. Oh, Elamai Slachal Meimah. So you must say that Pasak is critical. Pasak means they agreed on a price. Pasak Samcha Daite. They agreed on a price before they, Samcha Daite. And he feels confident, he feels secure, he knows he's not going to be taken advantage of, he goes through the deal. Loi pasak, but if they haven't yet set a price, lan simcha daite. He doesn't feel comfortable with this deal. He may take advantage of him and hike the price, so the deal is not done. So even if you say Mashiach, technically is a kinyan, but it's not so in this case, where there was no psika. And that's why in the seifa, it's a problem. Says Rav Ashi, who did dinam? Likewise, according to my position, I hold Mashiach doesn't work, but we're speaking that it was paid for in advance. It doesn't matter. Even if he gave him money in advance, you still need Pasak. You have to agree on a price. Pasak, then Samcha Daita, then he's okay with it. Lo Pasak was at a price, then Samcha Daita, he's not okay with it. No deal. And therefore, when he takes possession, he does Yayin Nesach with it, it's still technically belonging to the seller. And that's a problem. Omar le Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina turns to Ravashi with another akasha. I want to bring a raya to a meimar that Mashiach works by a guy. Toshma, don't chibar Abba Rabbi Yechanan. Says Rabbi Yechanan ben Noyach. Ben Noyach is a guy, right? Nerag apachos b'shaber pruta, if he steals even less than a pruta worth of money, whatever, from a Yisrael, he's chayav misa. Because, as Rashi explains, but by Yisrael, we just forgive each other. There's mechila, less than a pruta, it's not worth our, while. We're just meichel. By a goy, no, goy is steadfast, even at less than a penny, he's not going to give up. He's not going to be meichel. So if the goy steals even a small amount of money from Yisrael, it's considered mamayin. Even such a small amount of value is regarded as money in the goy world, and therefore it's considered an act of theft. Now, there's no point of returning it to the Yisrael because he was Marechal already. But he gets his Misa, right? Rashi brings that on all these Sheva Mitzvahs bin Noyach, if he violates, he gets Misa. Now, according to you, that physical possession, taking possession of an item by a goy doesn't work. Right? So why are we killing the goy? What did he do wrong? Am I Nerag? Although he took this item, but there's no halachic transfer of ownership. He didn't really take possession. Wherever it is, he's still holding it on behalf of the owner because there's no kinyan mashiach. The answer is mishum detzara liyisrael. The fact is, he agonized the Yisrael, the victim. And that's reason enough to give him mis. He did an act of gazela, right? Which brought tsar, discomfort to the owner. So although, you know, in halachic terms, there was no transfer of ownership, that's considered gazela, and he gets mis. Says the Gemara, Umay lo nitan li shavin. So what does the Rechon mean when it says, well, it's not meant to be returned? Obviously, it was never even taken, technically, right? There was no transfer of ownership. They never tell us a shavin. It just means to say that there's no concept of returning. You see, by a yid who steals, so he now sort of acquires it. He has a chiyuv to give it back. It's like zeila. In fact, by us, it can actually correct, it can undo the avera. It's called a lav hanita klase. If one steals, he can now turn it around by giving it back and undoing the. But by a goy, once he steals, it's a done deal. Especially if we're saying that he's not even kaina. So wherever the item is, technically, it's still belonging to the owner. So there's no concept, no chiyuv, there's no concept of giving it back. That's how Rashi learns. Wherever it is, it belongs to the Yisrael. Belongs to the owner. Tesis learns a bit differently. He says that, for speaking that it's less than a pruta, so really the Yisrael already, you know, was Meichel. So there's no point in giving it back. And in terms of the tsar, the pain and discomfort, it's too late for that. So that was the Gemara's kasha. What does it mean? Anything lishavan. Obviously, there's nothing to give back. That's exactly the concept of returning doesn't apply. Okay. Says the Gemara. So you're telling me really there's no mashicha? It's only because of the tsar. Yachim is safer. If that's the case, let's move on to the next part of the braisa. So goy number one stole the item, and then goy number two stole it from goy number one. Boch Haveira, the second guy comes along, and tell the men don't steal it from the first guy. Neragala, he also gets killed. Hold it. Bishlima Resham Shrinzar the Yisrael. Understand that the first guy is deserving of punishment, although there was no kinyan, but he afflicted the Yisrael, gave him tsar. Ela safe am I of it, but in the second case. In the second stage of the game, when the second guy came, took him from the first guy, what did he do wrong? Mayavit. He didn't steal from the first guy, never belonged to the first guy. And he certainly wasn't adding any element of tsar to the original Yisrael, right? The thing was gone already by way of the first guy's act. Oh, so here we see. In fact, we can prove from this halacha the fact that the second guy is also considered a thief because he stole from the first guy. Apparently, Meshicha Ba'avid Kecham is Kaina. An act of Meshicha makes it his. There's a transfer of ownership. So when the guy stole from the yid, now he acquired it. To the extent that the second guy comes and steals from the first guy, he has also committed an act of theft. So we have a right from here. The shita of Amemar, Mashicha is considered a kinyan by Goyim. Mashicha, Bov Gechavim is kinyan. Okay, let's recap. We have actually three missions today. We have the Allah of the Bodlashes coming to snatch some food and drink. So if it's Shas Shalom, we have to be concerned. Shas Muhammad, we're not concerned about Yain Nesach. a yid was paid by a guy with the wine, he can just send it back, provided he didn't do any kinyan. He can have somebody take care of his taxes, provided it wasn't meant to be a wine payment. We have the halacha of selling wine to geisha customers. Mishnah says it depends if there was a psika, there was a set rate before he transferred the wine, in which case it's considered a complete sale and now belongs to the guy before it turns into Yain Nesach, so the Yid can take payment for it, but otherwise it's still considered the Yisrael's wine, and once it turns into Yain Nesach, he can't get paid for it. According to Rav Ashi, who says the Mashiach doesn't work by a guy, apparently we're speaking that there was advance payment as well, with the Maaseh of Kesef, which facilitates the transfer of ownership to the guy. So this took us into this Machlekes, you know, Meimar and Rav Ashi, a general Machlekes regarding how does a guy make a kinyan from a yid or amongst themselves, whether or not Mashiach works. And according to the conclusion, which was based on the Raya from the Halacha of Gezel, we pass Mashiach, Boivit Gechavim, is Koinesh Mamina. All the best to you and Hatzlach Rav.